I know many times when I was growing up, on Mother's Day, the passage would be geared to mothers and the blessings that they are in our lives. And I don't want to disregard that in any way, but my message is not about Mother's Day. Just like on Father's Day, I'm assuming it won't be anything about fathers, at least our earthly fathers. But we want to take today, and as we open the Scripture, we want to take and see what it is that we're missing. You know, many times we can take passages, whether out of the Old Testament or New Testament, and we'll take them and we'll see what it is that we can learn. And yes, we need to learn, but there's things that we need to apply. I learned a lot. Well, maybe not a lot, but I learned when I was in high school, when I was in college. But a lot of that stuff I didn't ever apply. It was information overload, and there were things that I learned that I never did apply because it hasn't come to a point in my life that I needed to apply. Some of the math stuff was so far over my head. It's stuff that I don't have enough money. I don't have to worry about that. There's things that we learn that we never apply. But what we learn today, we need to apply. And that's what God has laid on my heart this week. So many times God moves in our lives, and how we react, you know, whether it's an answer to prayer or whether it's we see His hand move in our lives in some way, we see it and we know and we're encouraged and we are even enthused in knowing that God is always faithful. God is faithful. And we understand that when we see those prayers answered and when we feel God move in our lives, and we know that. And I was thinking about that earlier this week. I had got a phone call or a text, I don't remember which it was, and it was had something to do with an answer to prayer. And it just kind of lifts my spirits, as it should all of us when that happens. But it really, right after that, I kind of crashed. And this is why. Because I got to thinking about those people out there that don't have that. They don't have the opportunity. Well, I'm not going to say they don't have the opportunity, but they don't have the relationship with God to realize that He is moving and working in their lives every single day, and they never see it. And so as I begin to study this week and pray, I came to a passage in Acts chapter 3. So if you want to turn there this morning, we're going to look at this lame beggar and the fact that he was healed. And this is a passage I think probably 3 or 4 years ago I preached on, and it seemed like a completely different passage. And I love it when God does that. But let's go ahead and we're going to start reading in chapter 3, verse 1, if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour," which would basically be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, "and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just pray that today would be a day that you are glorified more than ever before. Lord, I pray that you would move among us, move within us, help us to learn, help us to apply what it is you have for us today. We pray this day that you would just take over. Help us not to quench your spirit, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, we've probably heard this passage over and over. And like I said, I preached on it 3 or 4 years ago. And so it's a popular passage. And you've got Peter and John doing what they always do. They were religious men, and they would go to the temple at a time of prayer. And that's what they're doing. And here is this man, this lame beggar, that it says that he would have people daily take him and lay him down at this beautiful gate right outside the temple. And in itself, there's a message right there. Here is this man, and he's so close to this beautiful, beautiful gate of the temple. But yet he's never getting to experience God. He's getting to experience good things. People are walking by and they're giving him alms. They're helping support him. And he's got loved ones carrying him to that place. And he's able to be there. And some of his physical needs are supplied by the alms that are given. And so he's so close. So close. But he's missing it. And then as he's going about his daily routine to lay there and ask of alms, and it obviously worked because he kept coming back day after day, and so people were obviously giving him something. He's laying there and he's expecting things to be as normal. When you went out this last week, you probably expected things to be normal. And when you go out this week, you're probably going to expect things to be normal. I hope they're not. I hope they're not normal. Because too many times we get caught up in the normal. Too many times we are okay with the normal. My God is not normal. Your God is not normal. This could be wild today, guys. I'm just telling you. We expect and we are satisfied with the normal. This man was expecting the normal, and then God interrupted his plan. I was listening to a deal several years ago, and I've told people this before. God is in the interruptions. If you don't understand what I mean by that, my plans going through the day are my plans. Your plans going through the day are your plans. Now, they may be good plans. They may be great plans. But they're sometimes, most times, are not God's plans. And so what God does is He interrupts my plans, and He interrupts your plans. Even though they're good, he interrupts them. Look at this man. He's laying there. He's got a good way of at least getting by with some of the things of life. He's been dealt this palsy or whatever it's called, that he's crippled. And we know that. And he's learned to live with it. He's expecting material things from people. And they're giving it to him to help him. They're caring people. But he knows that when he receives those alms on this certain week, that they're not going to last. And he knows that not only are they not going to last, they're not going to fix his problem, his internal problem, his physical problem. It's not going to fix it. But that's all he can do. And then God interrupts his plans. He's laying there and he's expecting to eat alms. He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and so he asks them to receive alms. And Peter looks at him, and so does John, and then he's thinking, okay, things are normal. These two guys are going to stop and they're going to give me something. I don't know what they're going to give me, but everybody else has given me something. These two guys stop. They look at me. They're probably going to give me something. He's expecting the normal to keep going. And then all of a sudden, God changes the plan. And God interrupts him. And Peter says, I don't have any of that. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. I wonder what went through that man's mind right then. Man, I was expecting this. I was expecting someone to give me a couple pieces of silver or maybe a few coins. And this man stops and he's claiming, he's giving me healing in the name of Jesus. Think about that for just a second. He's expecting very little that won't fix it, that won't last. But God has something out there that's far better. Far better for you and me. But we're not asking for that. We're asking for the small, the things that won't last, the things that won't fix the problem that's inside us. But Peter took him by the hand and he raised him up. And he stood and he began to walk. And like I said, this man's mind was probably blown from his plans to now being interrupted with God's plans that was so much better. How many times has God changed your plans and you look back and thought, man, I had God in a box. I was expecting God to send somebody to give me a few copper coins or maybe a silver coin. And man, God does this. God explodes my mind when I allow Him out of the box. When I give Him something and I expect Him to give back, I expect little. God doesn't go by my rules. He doesn't go by your rules. This man feels the change. Peter reaches out and takes him by the hand and he stands him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles become strong. And he begins to walk around. And that had to have been so amazing for him, so mind-blowing to understand what God had just done in his life. This man just came up and said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he reached me and he pulled me by the hand and he helped me stand up. That in itself is amazing. And we've felt things like that. We've felt God move in our lives and know that He's moved in a way that we couldn't understand. He's blown the box out of proportion. And that's generally where we stop. But what God laid on my heart for today, for me, this week, and for hopefully from now on, is what this man does next. Because you know, this man, we know what he didn't do. When God moved in his life, he didn't just get up and go home. There's another passage where Jesus told a man to rise, take your mat, and go. He did. But here, it's not told. The man is not told what to do. We know he's healed. We know he stands. We know he walks. Man, if he would have went home, I can only imagine what it would have been like to be able to run home after being carried to that place day after day after day. To run home and show my wife or my family, my kids, whoever's there, and show them that, man, now I can walk with you. I can run with you. I can play with you. I can support you because of what God has done in my life. I can imagine that would probably be one of the first things that we would want to do. And if he had done that, his family would have been changed. His family would have seen what God had done. Well, they would eventually see anyway. But what he does is where we need to go. It tells us that after he was healed, says he, after he was healed and his ankles were made strong, and leaping he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Let me get real personal here. He's walking and leaping and praising God. What does he have? Why? Why is he doing all of that? Why is he walking? Because God has now given him something that he's had a power in his life to be able to walk, which he's never been able to do. God has done something in his life that he has never done before, and now this man has the power to do something that God alone has given him the power to do. He's walking under the power of God. How long has it been? You're going to hear that question a lot today. How long has it been since you were walking under the power that God has given you? So many times God does things in our life, and we allow that, and we take it, and we receive it, and we are thankful, and we are grateful. But are we walking under the power with which God gives us? Or are we just going along knowing that that power is there? Knowing that it's there for me to draw on anytime I want. Knowing that it's real. Understanding that it's a gift from God, a blessing that He has given me. But am I walking? Every step this man took, he's walking with the power that God had given him. I don't do that. I'm pretty sure most of us in here don't do that. Every step you take, every step I take, do we walk with the power that God has given us? And I'm not talking physically. Yeah, there's things we need to do physically, walking for God. But do we live our life with the power in which God has given us? This man did every step of his life from that point on. From when God touched his life, every step from then on was living under the power that God gave. I want that. I want to be able to walk and live my life every step under the power of the Almighty God. Because that's what He's done. He's given me that opportunity. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did that to give me the power to live. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them from my hands. But I've given them life and I've given it to them abundantly. That means today. That doesn't mean just eternity. That means when I give my heart to Jesus Christ, He puts the Spirit of God inside us as believers and we live to glorify Him. Every step of our day. We walk under the power that He's given us. When He entered that temple, He's walking and He's leaping. Okay, that's one thing to walk into the temple. People are walking into that temple, and this man had never been able to come in a temple before. Because when you had some kind of a disease, you were considered unclean and you were not allowed in the temple. That's why he had to lay outside. And so here, he's able to come into the presence of God for the first time in his life. He's coming into the temple. And he's not just walking in and saying, wow, look at this building. He's walking in there and he's leaping with joy. He is celebrating the fact everybody else is walking in because they've walked in all their life. Man, this guy's leaping. He's excited. He's celebrating what God has done in his life. How long has it been? Finish the question. Since you celebrated what God's doing in your life. Well, I get down on my knees and I thank Him every night. Or I wake up every morning and I bow down and I pray and I thank Him. And He and I celebrate. That's where most of us are at. Man, this guy's walking into the temple. He is leaping and celebrating that God has changed his life. And it was drastic. It was from laying on a mat outside of a temple to now being able to walk in because of the power of God. And he is going to celebrate. You know, and he's coming in. I'm sure he sees all these religious people that are standing over in the corners or walking down the aisle or whatever. He didn't care what they said. He didn't care if they looked at him funny. Man, I am going to celebrate what God done in my life because He has changed me completely. That's what he did. I wonder how long it's been since I've done that. To where I didn't care about what other people saw or what other people were going to say. But I was going to celebrate what God is doing in my life. Well, Pastor Steve, it's not as drastic as this guy that's crippled and now he can walk. No, it's a sinner who was lost and dying, going to hell, and now I've got a home being made for me in heaven. That's more drastic. Is that the way to say that? Probably not. But it comes down to Are you willing to celebrate what God has done in your life? We go on to the third thing he did. He's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. Well, this is pretty simple. You know, I come and I worship God and I close my eyes or I kneel or I sing or I raise my hands or however you worship God. That's great. But it didn't say this man was worshiping God. He said he's praising God. Praise in the Bible, probably 98% of the time, is connected to lips. It is praising with your mouth. Ooh, that's uncomfortable. Now, I can get excited and I can wave my hand and I can sing. But I'm talking here about this man is going into the temple. He's walking in, he's leaping, and he's praising God out loud. Man, I'm sure his body was showing worship. I'm sure the excitement was a glory to God. But he's praising God for what God has done in his life. If anybody did not recognize him as the guy that laid outside the gate, I guarantee you by the end of the day, they heard that he was the guy laying outside the gate. And this is what God did for me. I'm praising God for what he did. How long has it been since you didn't care who was around, religious or not, that you praised God for what he did in your life? Used to, we always, several times I can remember growing up, people would always ask, we'd have a kind of a testimony night, and we still do that a little bit on Sunday nights or at the beginning of service. We give people a chance to praise God for what he's done. But I can remember a lot of times growing up, we would ask that, and this one person would always say, "Hey, April 7th, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior 40 years ago." And that's great. But what's he doing in your life now? What did he do this morning? What did he do last week? Praise God for what he's doing right now. It is a blessing. It is a praise that he saved my soul on that day when I was 21. But it's a blessing and it's a praise every day when I'm going through my plans and all of a sudden God interrupts me and I see his hand moving in the people around me. And I see him love me enough not to leave me the way I am. This man was walking and leaping and praising God. That was his purpose at that point. And as I think about this, it all starts with an interruption. And here's this man who's changed completely. Not just physically, but his heart, his mind, his mouth, everything has changed completely. And it goes back to Peter and John were just going to the temple to pray. And they were going to do good things. And this guy interrupts them. It wasn't this guy that interrupted them. He was doing his normal thing. And here's this guy doing his normal thing, and all of a sudden this guy interrupts me because he's not giving me what I thought I needed. We think people are interrupting us. Sometimes it's God smacking us upside the head with the two before saying, "Hey, trying to get your attention here. I'm just using so-and-so." We need to understand that God wants to interrupt our lives. And in saying that this week, I thought, why does God want to interrupt my life? Why does God want to interrupt your life? Because my life is about me. It's about my plans. It's about what I can do, what I can see my plan to worship God, my plan to praise God, my plan to live my life in a way to glorify and honor God. And those don't sound bad. But those are my plans. And so God has to interrupt me so that I can see what's right in front of me. And that's His plan. We could stop right there. But look at verse 9. After he's walking and leaping and praising God, it said all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they recognized him as the one who sat outside the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. Think about that. The way this man responded to God changed all these people. Now, we don't know how many all is right here, but if you go down into chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us, "But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. 5,000 people come to believe in Paul and Peter's preaching here because he was going to a prayer and was interrupted. And in the interruption, he looked for God, to what he could do for God. And he reached down and he said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And the man did. And so everybody saw what God did in this man's life. Everybody heard what God did in this man's life. And so it says in verse 11, it says, "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico of Solomon's." And all these people saw him walking and leaping and praising God. And they come over and they want to hear. And so Peter is able to share with them about Jesus. And 5,000 people, 5,000 men, about 5,000 men, it says, heard and believed in God because of one interruption. But in the interruption, he looked for what God was doing. Man, there are times when God has me do something or God has you do something and we're working it and we're doing what He says. And then there are other times when I'm doing my thing and God interrupts me. And when He does, I need to be smart enough to do what Peter did. Look for the God in the interruption. That's what you and I need to do. And when we do, we let God go and we follow. Peter, it says, after he told this man, in the name of Jesus, walk, he did something. He reached down and he took him by the hand and he helped him up. Guys, that's where we fall short a lot. When we are finally seeing God interrupt our lives and okay, God, I'll do this for you. I see the interruption. I'm going to do it. In the name of Jesus, walk. Jesus loves you. And go on. Go on to the temple to pray. Go do my religious things. No, Peter stopped. Stayed with the man. Reached out and helped him stand up. And then it says the man entered the temple with him. We need to realize we draw strength from other people. There is somebody in your life that has mentored you or told you about Jesus, tried to share Jesus with you or show Jesus in their life. That's what Peter did here. It wasn't all about my time to pray. It wasn't all about me. It was about God put this man in my path. I share with him what God's going to do. I help him up. And I'm willing to take him with me to the temple. You've got to be willing to help. I'll pray for you. I listened to a deal this week, a podcast, and I'm going to start doing this, so just so you know, be prepared. I listened to Jace Robertson this week, and I can't remember the older brother's name. Hannah? Alan. Thank you. Alan Robertson from Duck Dynasty, that family. I was listening to their podcast, Unashamed, this week. It's really good if you don't want to listen to it, but commercial there. But Alan Robertson is a pastor, and he said, I've started doing something. When people say, hey, will you pray for my, and they give you a name, say, yeah, let's do it right now. And he stops and prays right then. Because too many times we just take it as somebody comes up and says, hey, will you pray for so-and-so? Yeah, and then we go on and we forget. If they're asking me to pray, if you come up and ask me to pray for somebody, be prepared to stop right there and we're going to pray. And if I forget that, say, hey, aren't we going to pray now? I'm asking you. I'm putting myself accountable. Make me do that. Because that's what we want to do. We don't want to just say, oh, I'll pray for you. We want to do what Peter did. We want to come alongside and we want to lift up and we want to help in any way we can. That's what God's calling us to do, is in the interruptions of our life, put Him first, look for Him in the interruptions, and then whatever that interruption is, understand it's part of His plan, and in part of His plan, He wants you to be involved. There's probably people out here saying, you know, well, I do kind of walk in the power of God, and I do kind of, you know, celebrate at times, and I do praise Him, but none of us do it like we should. And there's some out there probably that have never really understood what it means to walk with Jesus. I hear you talk about it every Sunday. I hear people talk about it all the time, what it means to walk with Jesus. Means to have that relationship that as you take every step, every breath of your life, you know that it's all sustained by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came because He loved you. He died on a cross. He rose again. He's coming back for those that are His own. And that may just be something that a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or mom or dad or grandma or grandpa have told you all your life. But the bottom line is that's where it all begins. In a relationship with Jesus Christ. If he had been interrupted and he stopped and talked to the man, that's great. But if he didn't have the relationship, if Peter didn't have the relationship with Jesus Christ, then nothing happens here in this passage. No healing. No message to the 5,000. It all started with Peter's relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it was real. It was constant. And that flowed over into things in his life. And like I said, even Peter needed interrupted. So you and I do too. But if you don't have that relationship, I pray today that God interrupts you. Maybe this is your interruption. And I was coming to church because it was Mother's Day and that's what we do. And we go to church every Sunday and I've went all my life. Or maybe I just walked in here for some reason. But the bottom line is, maybe this is your interruption to where you need to understand to look for God in the interruption. Don't look for Him in my message. Don't look for Him anywhere else but here. Man, He loves you so much. He wants a relationship with you. Today's the day that you can start the best interruption of your life. I pray that it's real. Because if you will take and allow Him to change your heart and you make Him the Lord of your life, I guarantee you that He will move and change you more so than a lame man who could walk, a lame man who could leap, a lame man who had a desire to praise. I pray today is the day He interrupts you and brings you to the cross. I say all that to the non-Christians, but now I'm aiming this at me and the rest of you that are Christians. How long has it been since you've been walking and leaping and praising God? Because maybe there's 5,000 people out there waiting to see what God's doing in your life. But I just walked on home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Lord, I pray for myself that I would be what you desire me to be. I pray for each and every single person in this sanctuary, each and every person watching this on Facebook, Lord, that wherever this message meets them, that they would look for you today. Lord, I don't know what everybody's issue is. I know what mine are. I know I need to spend more time praising and leaping and walking in your power. I need to spend more time helping. God, all those things I just preached are to me. Lord, I pray for each one in this room. Wherever they're at with you, Lord, I just pray. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that they would surrender to you. That they would receive what it is you have for them. Whether it's salvation for the first time, Lord, I pray that. Whether it's peace, I pray that. Whether it's encouragement, I pray that. Strength, I pray that. Lord, may we glorify and honor you. Lord, move among us. In your precious, precious name I pray. Amen.